Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast. Opening a tin of humor ravioli, pouring it into the pan of friendship, heating it up, and whacking that on some cheeky toast. Tinned ravioli on toast podcast. I panicked, James.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James A. Castle. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest and ask them their favorite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is
Noel Fielding. Noel Fielding, an amazing comedian, James, of course.
Look, obviously...
legendary national treasure territory.
Yes, I would say. Obviously, we are the age...
yes.
...where when The Boosh came out on TV, we were watching it, all of our friends were watching it,
mm-hmm.
Everyone was obsessed with them. So, very formative comedy for us.
Absolutely.
And maybe Noel doesn't want to hear that, maybe it makes him sound old. But he's not.
Nah.
He was just doing cool comedy when we were late teens.
Yes, very much so. And look, he's still doing cool comedy because he's in a brand new comedy series on Apple TV Plus. It's called The Completely Made Up Adventures of Dick Turpin. And Noel is the lead playing Dick Turpin.
Hugh Bonneville's in it as well. I'm very looking forward to seeing that pairing.
I'm very looking forward to seeing it as well. It's an amazing cast. Ellie White's in it. Mark Wootton's in it. Tamsin Grieg's in it, Asim Chowdhury's in it, Joe Wilkinson's in it, Mark Heap's in it. I mean, it's just this.
Holy shit.
It's an absolute cavalcade.
Well, that'd be fantastic. Also, Noel has ties to the food world with
Bake Off. Of course, Bake Off.
And this is nearly, I mean, not many people left now from the tent that day, that worst day of my life.
No.
So we've had.
I've been on it as well. I had a lovely day.
Yeah, you had. Nice
loved hanging out with Noel.
You had a really nice time.
Have you seen Noel since the tent?
This is the first time.
Oh, man.
First time I was...
So he's worried about coming in here that you're still going to be in that mood?
No, he had a good time. He didn't mind. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
I'm sure it'll come up. It normally does, even with people who are completely unconnected to it.
But listen, we love Noel Fielding. But if he mentions the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will kick him out of the dream restaurant.
We will.
And this week, the secret ingredient is spicy carrot and coriander.
Spicy carrot, coriander, and ananda soup. I was trying to say at the same time, I wasn't sure if we were going with just tasty soup or spicy carrot and coriander soup. And then I tried to say coriander at the same time as you, but you'd said it. So I said coriander and ananda.
And we should be saying it at the same time because that's what they would do. Crimping.
Yeah, that's true.
They would say it exactly the same time. But
too late now. We'll never be The Boosh.
We're not Noel and Julian and we never will be.
No.
But
no.
They did sing spicy carrot and coriander in the soup song.
Yes.
And so, you know, I would be surprised if Noel picks something that is from his back catalogue, but if he does,
he's gone.
We'll kick him out.
He's gone, mate, but that'll be a shame. But this is the off-menu of Noel Fielding. Welcome, Noel, to the Dream Restaurant.
Hello.
Welcome, Noel Field, into the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Now, can I just stop you there and say, you're the genie and you've just appeared, right?
Yeah.
Yes. No one rubbed the lamp, though, did they?
It's a very, very good point.
You just come out willy-nilly. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, and do you know what?
Because that's the only rule I remember. Yeah, someone's got to rub the lamp.
Yeah.
You've just got like a door, like a cat flap.
Yeah.
A genie flap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know what? We just did a tour, a live tour of this, and we would get the guests to rub the lamp every night.
Yes.
Oh.
And yet, when we put that in, I was like, we never do this usually.
Yeah, it's
why
different.
Are they rubbing the
lamp? I guess it's different because on the tour we had a big lamp on stage.
You had a big lamp.
Yeah, so that's easier to go to a guest.
Right.
Can you rub that lamp
it's
that's
quite
there?
Dodgy territory these days, isn't it?
Yep.
Can you rub my lamp?
Yeah, there was a lot of rubbing at the tip of the neck of the lamp and stuff.
20 years' time, well, they forced me to rub this lamp.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird.
It
wouldn't age well, I guess.
But when it's audio only, especially, at least you're aware of the genie being a thing, right?
I love you do your own sound effects.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Yeah, that's probably one of the only things you have to be able to do as a genie.
Yeah. Do your own sound effects. Like Robin Williams, he'd do all his own sound effects.
Because I guess if no one's rubbing the lamp, you have to do your own sound effects. If you are coming through a cat flap, you're just coming out a cat flap and going, psh.
Yeah.
I like that. I've got a little cat flap.
Genie flaps. Lovely.
Yeah. Do you think I'm chipped? So it knows it's me.
Yeah. Little magnet around your collar.
Yeah, yeah. That's important. First time I saw you do stand-up, Noel, the first thing you said was about a cat.
Oh, was it?
I remember it because it was before I did stand-up, so I'd pretty much, every gig I went to.
You remembered
everything. I'd just come away from it and remembered every single night.
I think I remember when I was young and starting, the people I liked, I'd go and see and I'd remember everything they did. And now when I go to see a gig, people go, what did he talk about? And I go,
no idea.
Some stuff. But I used to be able to do whole Stuart Lee sort of routines. And go,
entire things.
I used to do a lot of animal stuff, basically.
But it wasn't. It was you picked up the mic stand and the legs went...
sort of
just folded in and you went, oh, it's like when you pick up a cat and it goes all long. And I'll still think about it now. If I ever pick up a mic and it does that, I think of Noel going, oh, I've gone all long and doing an impression of a cat.
Well, you can have it. I used to do so much stuff about animals, and the only other person really this is when I started, that used to do a lot of animal stuff was Ross Noble. So we used to sit backstage, and if we were on the same bill,
talking about animals.
Okay, well, you're going to have unicorn, but I'm having monkeys, and we just sort of divvy out all the animals because it's like such a crossover.
All those stories of like old school, the working men's club comics who had like the blackboard of all of the topics and jokes, and they crossed them off when they came off. It's just you and Ross Noble with whimsical animals.
Yeah, exactly. And there'd always be like an old school, slightly old school comedian there, just tutting.
Yeah, yeah.
This won't take off. What these two are doing, this is not real comedy.
Yeah. Also, imagine how furious those comics were, because when our generation came, we're the ones who just like watched all you guys.
Yeah,
but those old school, it was still the same old school comedians on the circuit when we started. They hated us.
Oh my god,
we were even worse because they were like, we thought this was going to get better.
Yeah, we thought it was a phase.
These guys liked those idiots. Now they're all talking about unicorns and monkeys.
Where are the guys that liked us?
I do remember the first time I ever saw Eddie Izzard. And I remember watching, it was on telly, I think. And I just caught the end of it. And I remember thinking, I've not heard anything like this.
Yeah.
And then when you go back, you go, okay, Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, some people were doing stuff like that, mainly Americans. I remember when Izzard did it, and I remember thinking, oh, yeah, this is not going to be the same now after this.
Yeah.
And there was like a period where everyone was doing Izzard.
I'd say there's a period of time where not just comedians, but every single student was acting like you.
Yeah.
There was a point where, like, I think...
Can only apologise.
Everyone knew someone who had consumed so much Mighty Boosh that it basically turned into one of the characters.
Yeah.
And you go, don't talk to that guy at a party.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Because I was the same. I used to watch my favourite shows, like Fry and Laurie and stuff and Blackadder, over and over and over and over and over again. So you knew every single... bit, which is such an odd with comedy, it doesn't really work. The only works is the element of surprise, but there's something comforting about watching And then I would meet people who would go, oh, my God, I watched The Push a thousand times. And I just think, and I could never remember anything that we'd written. And they'd go, that bit where you did this. And I'd be going, oh, I don't remember. I go, that was Julian, I think. There's nothing to do with me. I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's so many people who didn't turn up to lectures at uni because all they did was sit in their room watching The Push on LimeWire.
It's like a different time, though, as well, because now, I guess... I'm glad it's got back to stand-up. It feels like it's got back... Well, I mean, podcasts are amazing because they're sort of the new way of... You can do so much with podcasts, can't you? They're sort of... They feel like the right... They're like a sort of laid-back stand-up, a bit more jazzy stand-up. But I remember when there were programs. People made programs with scripts and rehearsed.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be a thing anymore.
And there are loads of people going, I'm not sure that's right, and they'd have to change
it. Yeah. Go, what's this bit here? And we go, well, I don't know, it was quite late when we wrote that. But now it's like, yeah, you'll be fine. Come in, just have a chat.
Oh, but I'm assuming, Noel, there was a script for the completely made up Adventures of Dick Turpin.
Lovely, James.
Which is out on Apple TV
Plus. Truly lovely.
Yeah. Pretty good, right?
That was, I mean, he's not a genie.
Yeah. He's
straight out the cat flap.
He's out his flap for sure.
I'm a flat base.
Segway flat was so smooth. There was it was fun actually to do that again. That was like that's like a real program with scripts, and I did write a bit as well. So I forgot how hard it was to write. It's you can spend all day trying to fix one tiny little thing, and then it's so frustrating. But it is satisfying as well, but it's also very hard. I remember it's like pushing a big boulder up a hill. Julian and I used to get nothing all day, and then we'd leave. And it was something about the act of leaving that we'd get something. So we'd go, all right, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, well, we could do this. Yeah. And then we'd get undressed and go back in and go, all right, let's stay and write that. But I don't know. It's tricky. Now that I've got family and stuff, it's like, can you just write till midnight or 4 a.m?
Is it just you writing on your own?
No, there's a couple of other writers, so I would just dip in and out now.
Nice.
Yeah, I just dip in and out. Like I'm sort of some... old. I'm so old. I just come in and go, listen, guys, let me tell you how this scene needs to work. And
it was perfect.
They ignore me and just rewrite it.
That's when you get your ideas right, when you're leaving. So if you just keep dipping in and out.
Exactly.
About five times a day.
I'm like the yo-yo. I come in.
Non-stop ideas. Every time he goes to the door, puts his guy
on. I'm off again. Oh, hang on.
It was fun, actually, because I haven't done that sort of comedy for a long time. I kept trying to do it again, but after The Bush, I was like, oh, this isn't as much fun. Or we were all mates, weirdly. So it sort of just evolved naturally, The Bush. And then the problem is you try and manufacture that again. It doesn't quite work. Or it's not, it just doesn't feel the same. Also, it just all happened in the right way. It was like Edinburgh, then radio, then telly, then, you know, big shows. And then, so when you do a normal TV show that isn't that, you go, this isn't as much fun. Maybe I should not do this kind of show anymore, which is why I ended up doing panel shows and then Bake Off, because I thought, oh, it's something else, you know?
Yeah, and it's different every day. And,
yeah. And also, Julian was so funny. Julian was such a strange character because it was a bit like a marriage. So once it was over, it was like, you can still see each other, but you can't have sex anymore. It's like, that's over. That's some sacred time that we look back at and go, do you remember when we did that? It's like a dream, like your dream restaurant.
Yeah, like my dream restaurant.
Yes.
So it is a dream restaurant.
Yes.
It's not a real restaurant.
No, it's just like your
dream. It's just
dream.
A dream. Trying to write a joke about a dream. I said, I'm trying to write a joke about leaving my keys in a dream.
Yeah.
And then not being able to get them back. But luckily it's a recurring dream, so I'm waiting for it to come back. So I can't quite make it work. But I wanted to sort of write a joke where I leave my keys in my dream and then I go through all lots of different dreams to get back to the dream where my keys are. Can't make it work.
As soon as you get up to leave, you'll think about it. You'll solve it today. Yeah. As soon as you're leaving this, you'll go, guys.
I've got it, guys.
I could get a dream cap.
It sounds like another TV show to me. I think you'd be back in here next year to talk about the Dream Keys show.
Maybe I should mention that people say, retrace your steps.
Yeah.
You know, people go, retrace your steps. Where were you? You go, I was actually having a dream. Maybe they're in there. But there could be a dream guardian, who keeps the sort of
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Like a lost property office.
Macca,
yeah.
That's,
yeah, I think it'd be Macca.
Do you think he'll do it?
He wrote a song in a dream.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I reckon he's got a better handle on dreams than anyone else. He's had the most amount of, like,
he's
success.
He's had most dreams of anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Most successful dreams.
I go for quite long periods where I don't have dreams. Do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
it's weird,
I mean,
isn't it?
Yeah. Apparently, two nights ago, I was talking in my sleep, and my girlfriend was like, "What were you talking?" I was like, "I can't remember. Can't remember what it was." She was like, "You're really stressed."
Yeah, my girlfriend said I screamed once in my sleep.
Wow,
he was screaming last night.
Stunning your keys.
Like, what? My keys! I'll never get them back!
We always start with still a sparkling water. No?
Well, here's the thing, right? I prefer fizzy water, as I call it, in the childlike way. Waiters don't like to use the word fizzy, do they?
No.
Still a sparkling. I have fizzy. Like, you mean sparkling? No, fizzy. I like the bubbles, but here's what, I've ruined it for myself. Basically, I got one of those taps where you can have sparkling water. And so now I've sort of overdosed on it. I've just have it all the time. So it's not special anymore.
Are you waking up in the morning and having a glass of fizzy water?
Just all the time. Yeah. I'm addicted. But it's like I've had it so much now. It's like I'm like Caligula. I'm just like, I'm bored of orgies.
Yeah.
This doesn't. So now occasionally I have a still water in the way that I used to have a sparkling water.
Oh, wow.
That's a treat.
Yeah, a cup of still. That's interesting.
So if you're at a restaurant, you're like, oh, yeah. Treat me. I'm out. I'm going to have a still.
I do like San Pellegrino. Is that
San Pellegrino?
No, no, no. I think leave it as San Pellegrino.
Yeah. It's slightly different to San Pellegrino.
Yeah. San Pellegrino is a man.
It's just the guy who thought he'd had the idea to make fizzy water, realised it already existed and just put an A in there. San Pellegrino, yeah. I like that one. I like the glass ones. I think when you try and put fizzy water in a plastic bottle, that doesn't work, does it?
I know what you mean. I had a great fizzy water the other day in a restaurant from a glass bottle. So
yeah,
I ordered some on Amazon and it arrived in a plastic bottle and it's completely killed the vibe.
Yeah. And it doesn't taste the same,
does it? No.
Bubbles don't bounce off the walls as vividly, I imagine. Imagine with the glass, they're pinging about all over the place.
Yeah.
But also, imagine being a bubble and then someone says, I'm going to put you in a glass container. You'd feel quite good.
You feel, you feel special.
Someone goes, I'm going to put you in a plastic bottle. Yeah. You'd be like, what?
Come on.
This?
Well, they can't bounce around that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I don't think that's as fun for them.
It's difficult because I still love fizzy. I'm going to have to go fizzy over still, though. But yeah, I've ruined fizzy by having it in taps. It doesn't taste the same taps either. Yeah, it's a bit weird.
So for your dream meal, you probably wouldn't want it out of a tap.
No.
Also, I heard Bob Mortimer saying that it dried his mouth out, fizzy water. And I thought, how can water dry your mouth out? No one queried him on that. And I was thinking, there's no point, right?
He won't answer us.
I think we'd already done like half an hour before we got to water, so.
Yeah. So just let him say that.
Yeah, we've got to get to sugar and tea.
So I think I'm going to go fizzy. But you know when people order, you know, people make quite a big deal now about ordering tap water, don't they, in restaurants? Mm-hmm. I hate that. It's really arsey, isn't it? It's like, I'll have tap water, thanks. I'm not paying for your water. You're like, you're in Heston Bloomington. It's not going to hurt. I'll have tap water, thanks. But really angry.
Well, you never know what Bloomington's going to do to the water, though, do you?
If you're ordering still tap water. It's like, is there a pond around here? Just go and take this ladle and just
well, for you, if you order tap, you could mean fizzy water.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you're used to.
Yeah, that's true. If you can get fizzy water in your taps, why don't you just get Umbongo or something?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cream soda.
It feels like the sky's the limit if we're getting sparkling water.
Sparkles. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah, would Umbongo be the dream thing to have at
I
the
think
tap?
So. That sort of dirty pink fruity liquid purely for the song advert.
Would it play the song every time you pour yourself a glass? Yeah.
The only good thing about having it come out of your taps is you go, on some water when people come around and you go sparkling or still and they go, this guy's got some quality about him. But imagine going, Umbongo, dressed you in some Umbongo. I've got it piped in. I'd be like, oh, this guy's a serial killer.
I know. But you're one of the few people that people would go, yeah.
Right,
he's got Umbongo coming
that
out of his
taps. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I went around Noel Fielding's house. He had Umbongo coming out of his taps. He washes with it.
He has a full shower.
The shower.
It's really weird.
It's one of the stickiest men you could ever meet.
Yeah, is it still a thing, Umbongo?
I think it is.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah.
I haven't seen it in ages. You can still get it.
You can still, is the carton the same? Yes, it's pretty much the same. Have they done that thing, though? This is what I don't really like about all those weird things from the 70s and 80s were quite unhealthy, but they were delicious. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of go, hey, we're still party rings, but we're pretty healthy now. And you go, your party rings, dude, you don't need to go.
Yeah.
It's like they've sort of gone quite dull. Remember, party rings were luminous almost.
Yeah.
You could sort of see your way through a dark forest with a party ring.
It's like it'd been laminated with plastic. Like a party ring was nuts.
But like party rings are now quite dull. They're sort of a weird.
Yeah, Google party
colour.
Rings, Benito. Google image.
They used to be so bright. They were luminous yellow.
Yeah.
You knew they were bad for you, but they tasted amazing.
Yeah, they were the colour of Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Do you think they have changed? Because you know how, like, when you're a kid, everything seems bigger. Do you think it's also a case of when you're a kid, everything seems brighter?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Your eyesight goes as you get older. Party rings are duller. Yeah, that's not how I remember it. You got your screen brightness turned up to max.
Yeah. They're almost muddy. They're muddy looking.
That's a dark pink, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's not good.
Oh.
That's with the brightness turned up to max. That's
the yellow's still quite good.
Yeah. It's all right.
I'd like to liquefy those and have them coming out my taps.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Liquid party rings.
I can make that happen for you as the genie if you want. Do you want that as your water course?
As your water course,
please. Yeah. Liquefied party rings? We'll change it to that.
Liquefied party rings.
Yeah, sounds good.
But the ones from the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, the ones that are luminous.
70s and 80s party rings. Liquefied, coming out of your tap. Shower in it.
For my baths.
Yeah. Have a bath in it.
Because I imagine if you have access to a genie, you could say, would you draw my bath for me, please, while I'm having...
Yes, but you've got to be careful when wording wishes to genies.
Right.
Because obviously I would just draw your bath on a pad.
Oh, I see.
And then I'd go, there you go, that's what you wished for. And you'd be like, you tricksy genie.
One of my wishes gone. Just a bath.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go, I've drawn you a bath.
You've got a picture of a bath.
It was a liquefied party ring bath, so it's quite good.
It's quite a nice drawing.
I've got a photo of that now. At least a selfie.
Pom-doms or bread? Pom-doms or bread, Noel Fielding? Pom-doms or bread?
Oh, my God. Pom-doms or bread? Bread.
I've got to be for, you bake. You couldn't show your face in that tent again.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to... Contractually, I'm obliged to say bread now.
Yes.
I did say on the show, I said, no one eats bread anymore, do they, under 40? No one under 40 eats bread. Everyone's terrified of bread. I don't want bread in me. Look at me. If I put bread in me. But like Paul Hollywood... makes his own bread, obviously, every day. And he always says, if you make your own, you don't put any of the bad stuff in it. It's healthy. Uh-huh. It's good for you, in fact. And I'm thinking, I'm not 100% sure it's good for you.
I don't believe a word he says.
He looks great. Hollywood.
Sure, but, you know.
That's his blue eyes, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the eyes.
You put those eyes in anything, couldn't you?
Yeah.
It'd still be hypnotising. They're like party rings.
I imagine Paul Hollywood holding two party rings over his eyes and looking through them at
him. Oh, my God. Like a bush baby.
Yeah. Like a little bush baby.
They're so blue. Sometimes he catches me looking at them.
Yeah, I bet.
He's like, what? And I'm like, nothing. Just, they are blue. I think maybe as blue as Paul Newman's.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
It's nuts. They're like a husky's eyes, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones style eyes. They're a little bit scary, actually. A little bit zombie.
Yeah.
They are scary. They are unsettling.
Because they're not necessarily kind eyes.
No.
Cold.
And we've had him in. He was very lovely.
Yeah.
Was he?
Well, they're not kind eyes.
Didn't remember
He didn't remember you. Didn't remember you.
He's like, I know you've been on Bake Off, but I can't remember what happened. I was like, you kidding me? I had a fucking meltdown, Paul. Didn't remember. First thing you said when you got here, you said, last time I saw you was mid-breakdown, wasn't it? I was like, yes, thank you, Noel. Thank you for remembering it. It's nice.
You know what? You held it together quite well because I knew you were struggling, but I didn't know the full capacity of that breakdown. Yeah.
But you were...
aggravating the breakdown?
No, it was great. You were the only person who, at least to my face, was constantly finding it funny.
Yeah.
So everyone else was kind of like...
It was hilarious.
Like, okay, this guy's not doing great. We maybe need to keep an eye on him. And every time you came up to me, you were just laughing nonstop.
It was very entertaining.
Whether it was on camera or off camera.
You were using it. You used it.
Yeah. I was leaning into it, and I think you recognised that. And we're like, well, this is funny.
It was like that thing, you know, when someone's tripping and having a bad trip.
people say,
well, go with whatever they're talking about. Yeah. And start asking them about what meetings they've got tomorrow because they're going to freak out. So they go, oh, my God, I've got a lion's mane. And you go, you have got a lion's mane. But that's a good thing, you know? Don't start going, what time have you got to be at work tomorrow? Because I'm not sure you're going to make it.
I mean, when I was like, icing eggs and stuff.
Yeah,
you were icing eggs.
No, it was just like, cool, and who's this egg? That's Prue. Yeah, it is. That does look like poo.
You know very what? Good. It was kind of amazing. It was like art, what you were doing.
Yes.
Mm. It was like performance art, and what you were making was like sculpture, was like art. And yeah. when you've been in the tent as long as I have, 7 years, you get less for manslaughter. But when you've been in the tent as long as I have, it's quite interesting when someone just goes, no rules, I'm just going to start using this food as... Yeah. That's my playground.
Yeah.
The devil's playground.
That was by the final, whatever, the showstopper. But, I mean, the technical was the pig breakdown.
Yeah.
When you were coming over and being like, so how many of these have you made? I was like, I've made none of them. No, I don't. I don't know why anyone would ever fucking bake. I don't get it. You're like,
you know what? The weird thing about baking is, right, and they keep threatening to do this to me. I don't know anything about baking at all, other than theoretically, I probably am quite a powerful baker because I know everything, but I've never tried it. So I think it's one of those things that unless you bake a little bit, you can't just come in and completely wing it.
Yeah.
But I think comedians know they can wing things, sort of quite good at improvising, so think, I can wing baking. It's like science. So
it's impossible to wing it.
Like, you just get deeper and deeper into the madness of baking. And so they always go to me, you should go on it. You should go on the celeb one just for a joke. And I'm like, that won't be funny. That'll be, have you seen James's when I did episode? It'll be like that.
When I did it, Matt was on because there were loads of
And he was really
dropouts.
Having a breakdown again.
Yeah, he was not happy with what he did.
He told me to fuck off. Because I just came up and was laughing at him. He's like, fuck off. And then he went, I'm really sorry. I'm just really stressed. And I was like, are you joking? But like, it really got to him.
Yeah.
And I think he felt extra pressure because he was supposed to be good or something.
Right.
Whereas I just literally, they go, you've got to come on the show today as a baker. And I go, not happening. Not happening.
Yeah.
I will make a genie cat flap, James, but I'm not baking for anyone.
Sandy had to fill in for Big Nasty, the series. I think the day before I came in to do mine, they were like, Big Nasty did day one and didn't turn up on day two. And Sandy had to fill in for him.
I mean, if you ever think you're loose, you know, painting, doing comedy, Big Nasty, I don't know how. He's really funny, but I don't know how he gets from A to B. It's like, it's just remarkable. I think he thought I was Neil from The Young Ones. Mm. I was like, that was like in the 80s. I'd be like 19. But he was just like, you're Neil, aren't you, from The Young Ones? And I was like, no. Like, that guy, Nigel Planer, is about 75 now. But like, when you say that to him, he just goes, yeah, Neil. And that's it. Neil from the Young Ones. So like, his reality is whatever he says.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So what kind of bread are we talking about? Well, do you want it from the Bake Off tent? Do you want Paul Hollywood to bake it?
Oh, you know what? He did help me make a loaf once. I made a loaf once.
Yeah.
And he got behind me like in Ghost, you know. Oh, it was quite essential.
That's good.
These big hands, like lion's paws. His blue eyes. I could feel them boring into my neck. And I made quite a good loaf. And then I made toast. I love toast.
Yeah. It's
a thing for me. So what I'm going to say is garlic bread.
Lovely.
This is a bit perverse because everyone thinks I'm a vampire. So it's a bit like an obscure form of self-harming. I'm a vampire and I eat garlic bread. Isn't that bad for you? I'll be fine. I think I really like toast and I really like garlic.
Yeah.
I'm half French, so maybe that's why. But I really like garlic. So I like making my own garlic bread and I make it too strong. Definitely. Yes. Everyone I've ever made it for is like, oh my God. You know, like some people are panicking about, I'm going to smell, my breath's going to smell of garlic. And some people are just like, oh, when you have strong garlic, it's like ginger sometimes sort of can send you into the future for a few seconds. You
know, clears all your pores out. And
it's like something happens. You go into almost into a trance. Yeah. Like imagine like when shaman eat roots, it's that sort of thing. Yeah. You know? You sort of go, have you ever had an old garlic bread? All the shaman come round for it.
I'd imagine it's like not that far, like probably like 5 minutes into the future, your garlic bread. Yeah. So you're just...
It's almost pointless.
You just go forward to when you're finishing the garlic bread.
It's like you just miss the end of the show you're watching and then you're really annoyed and you can't get back.
That is the most annoying amount of time to go into the future.
Two and a half
two
minutes.
2 to 4 minutes, yeah.
Two to four... I was boiling an egg, and then I don't know what happened. Now I'm in the future. It's different in the future, isn't it? No, it's 2.5 minutes into the future. It's exactly the same. No, I heard you went into the future. What's changed? Well, party rings aren't as good, I'll tell you that right now.
How much garlic do you put in them? What's your recipe for your garlic bread?
About six.
Six garlics?
Six chunks,
yeah.
Well, there's the garlic, isn't there? What are the sections called?
Cloves.
Cloves, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. There's the bulb and the cloves.
The bulb?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
The bulb.
Yeah.
The garlic bulb. Well, I love breaking the garlic bulb.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's like a tangerine that went. Yeah. A stubborn tangerine.
Savory toast chocolate orange. Yes.
I like breaking the bulb as well.
I love that.
But it's annoying when you're like, I've got a good one here, and it comes out, it's a little baby one.
Yeah, that's not good, is it? I like that. I like peeling. It's very satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah.
You sort of break the bulb, all comes open.
Yeah.
And then you pick, you select the best chunks, don't you? The best cloves.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, that one will probably send me 2 minutes into the future. That one maybe four, a bit bigger. And you have to peel the actual skin. There's all that sort of excess weird skin. Like dry skin.
Yeah, but that's satisfying if it comes off nice and easy.
Like a sort of snake shed its skin.
If they come off like full panels, that's great.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah.
When they've stuck to the actual thing itself and you're having to peel it off shred by shred, that's upsetting.
And what is that? Is that because it's been in the drawer for too long?
I think you put it in the drawer for too long.
Because how long does garlic last?
I mean, I'd say I get rid of it when it starts growing the tendrils out the top.
Yeah.
The big green tendrils.
The Shop of Horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of him and asking to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, when you wake up and the garlic's like tickling your chin.
When I was a little kid, my mum had this really big cheese plant and it was sort of, it was over by one wall, but in time it sort of got so big that it was kind of half over the door. It was like the door frame was here and it was sort of edging in and I was just the right height so that every time I walked past it was like it just touched my bum. It's like I was being molested
by a cheese plant.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's weird. And then we moved it and it just died. Huh? It's like we'd had it for 10 years. It was amazing. We moved it to a different part of the house and it just went right. Fuck you.
Your butt was keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Oh no.
If I can't touch that child, 12-year-old's butt, I'm out.
Life's not worth living anymore, man, really, without that 12-year-old's butt.
Yeah. Killed itself. I don't even know how you kill yourself, you're a plant. You've got no control over your own water intake or light. Well, I'm stopping photosynthesis. That's for
maybe
sure.
that's where it was getting its. If the sun shone out of your ass, maybe that's where it was getting its vitamin D from, straight out your butt.
Vitamin B.
Vitamin butt.
Yes, I think about that cheese plant quite a lot. That was my first relationship.
Not as much as it used to think about you, I imagine.
Yeah. It's all
out. When you were at school, just sitting there.
Yeah.
Where's he gone now?
I can't wait until he gets back.
I wonder what he's going to be wearing. Is it the Liverpool shorts? The Fila tracksuit.
Well, every tracksuit's a Fila tracksuit for that cheese plant.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class
and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's start your dream menu proper, your dream starter, Noel.
Okay, well, I thought about this, and you know what? I really like fruit. I don't really like food. I just want to say, I'm quite eyes and ears. I like, if you think about the senses, my eyes, I love looking at things. I can hear really well. I can hear like someone folding a map in the next street. I've got really weirdly good hearing. It's like super hearing. I don't really like smelling things, and I don't really like putting things in my mouth. It's just I have a bit of a weird thing. I don't like feeling full. I'm waiting for them to invent tablets, you know. I sort of can't wait for NASA to start sort of doing pop-up restaurants, you know. So you can have food in those tubes.
Like dried astronaut food.
I can't wait for that. Really appeals to me.
So you must love a frube then. That must be.
Surely.
Oh my, there were these things in the 70s called Swizzlers or Swizzle Sticks, and it was like the stick that you could eat and then the two packets of sherbet, cherry, I think it was, and lemon, and you would eat the sherbet off the stick and then eat the stick.
Yeah, wow. That's one of those free with the Beano ones.
My God, I loved those.
Loved them.
Little sachets. I mean, I used to fantasize about, you know, just all food becoming like that.
Sachet-based.
Or tablet-based. That's a scrambled egg. There you go.
Done.
Roast dinner. And I'd be quite happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my friends are foodies. My wife's a foodie. Julian was a foodie. Julian was almost like orgiastic. It's like he'd be going, you know, have you tried this? And it's just like, you know, almost rolling about the table.
Yeah.
Ordering loads of stuff that he couldn't eat, especially in curry houses. Like just so many dishes, and you know you're not going to get through them. And just almost in a reverie, in a trance. And I'd be
you're sat there waiting for
I'd
your
have
pill.
Half a korma. I'm done now. I need to go away. So I thought about starters, and I thought, I really like fruit, but people always have fruit at the end of a meal.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I think it's better for you if you have it at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll have some fruit to start me off.
Yeah.
And I thought, I like lychees, so I'd like a refreshing bowl of
lychees.
Sounds absurd.
It's our first. It's our first time that a bowl of lychees has got a shout out, I think, in any course, let alone
a bowl of lychees.
A
bowl of peeled lychees.
You don't want to peel them?
I don't want to peel them. They're quite stubborn, the skin.
Yeah, but it's garlic, you enjoy the peeling, right?
I do. But not, you know, the satsuma is so satisfying, isn't it? The loose satsuma.
The easy peelers,
when it takes its jacket off. I love that. But I feel like the lychee, you're getting a tiny bit every time, and you're just thinking, this is ridiculous. But I love the way they look, because I'm all about the eyes, really. And I love the way they smell. It's like perfume, isn't it? Really odd.
Yeah,
it's like something almost you shouldn't put in your mouth. They smell like sort of rubbers or erasers, or they smell like some sort of perfume your mum used to wear.
Yeah.
And you go, this shouldn't go in your mouth.
Funny texture as well.
Really weird texture.
Yeah.
But satisfying.
Yeah.
Weird colour. Mm-hmm. They're like eyeballs or something, aren't they?
They are. They often, the only time I really see them used is when people are like making Halloween things where you put your hand in a box and go, oh, this is eyeballs, and it's just a bowl of lychees.
That sort of grey colour.
Yeah.
Really odd. It's fleshy though, isn't it? It's really fleshy. I like that. And I love the smell. I love the taste. And I love it when they've been peeled for you. I think sometimes in an Indian restaurant, they'll give you light cheese as a dessert.
So if you were in an Indian restaurant with Julian, you're just watching him eat.
I'd have one light cheese. You'd be eating 50,000 booners. Booner, you know.
50,000 booners.
Yeah. Just, this is a true story. I think when me and Sergio went to the snooker to watch Ronnie O'Sullivan once, and he hadn't been playing for a long time, and he came back and he was winning. He was in the final. He hadn't done any practice. And then I remember at the interval, we said to him, "All right, Ronnie," and he went, "Yeah, you sticking around?" He said to the interval, "I'm going to go for a curry, yeah? I'm going to get a booner." That he wasn't even thinking about the match. He's just thinking about a booner and done any practice, and he won.
Yeah.
It's like so annoying for everyone else.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I know. A booner with Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Did you have a booner with Ronnie O'Sullivan?
No, sadly, we couldn't. And I think this is because we had to get back, because I think it was when Serge's girlfriend was pregnant and was about to give birth any moment. So we wanted to get back in case it happened. So we couldn't go for a booner with Ronnie O'Sullivan, which is one of the biggest regrets of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love to have a booner with Ronnie O'Sullivan. But then I sort of got him to read something out for me, do a voiceover for this character that I did on a show called Fantasy Man, and it was one of the funniest readings of all time because he just did it straight.
Yeah.
And he did it. He read it. It was like a paragraph. And it had a few jokes in it. And at the end, he sort of sighed, like, you went, so we kept it. It
great.
It was amazing. But yeah, so in Indian restaurants, sometimes you get those lights. What I'm saying is it feels clean, that food. I like clean food.
Yeah.
Refreshing. I feel like almost, you know, when they take the stone out, they've peeled it.
Yeah.
It's almost like I want a small gerbil or a mouse to wear those lychees, like fists, get inside me and just wash my organs.
Okay.
That sounds really weird, doesn't it?
It's escalated. Well,
do you want that in the dream meal? Do you want
the gerbil or the mouse?
Do you want the gerbil wearing the lychee boxing gloves to clean your insides?
Do you think a marsupial or a mouse? A marsupial feels more.
I would choose a gerbil over a mouse because I think.
Is a gerbil a marsupial? It is, isn't it?
No.
What is it then?
It's not got a pouch.
Yeah, it's got a pouch,
has
I think.
Has it?
Yeah.
Gerbils have pouches?
No way. I think a gerbil is a marsupial.
What the?
Or is it a desert rat?
They're rodents.
I've got that wrong. I've been living a lie.
How many people have you told that a gerbil's a marsupial?
Oh, no.
Quite a lot. And people have gone, I always thought it was a rodent. I know, it's one of those things.
You've got a pouch.
So the gerbil wears two lychees on either fist.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's getting inside me.
Yeah, which way?
Surely you want it to mask up, right? You want it to have a COVID mask on as well if it's doing this. I would imagine.
Tiny COVID mask.
Yeah, I'd imagine you'd want that. If he's going to be clean.
And that hat that doctors with long hair wear.
Yeah.
What's that, chef?
Yeah.
So it's wearing the plastic hat and the shower.
Well, I was imagining it dressed as a boxer because it's...
Shorts.
It's got silk shorts and maybe a headband.
Yeah.
And a mouth guard.
So I've got a nail make on my sewing machine. Silk boxer shorts. Yeah. Tiny COVID mask.
Yeah.
Shower cap for its hair.
Yep.
Because it's got a mullet.
Yeah.
This is Australian because it's a marsupial, not a rodent. And then it wears them like fists. It wears them like boxing gloves. Gets inside me. We're not sure how yet.
Yeah. What do you want? Through the mouth or the Richard Gere?
Oh, man. let's go up Richard Gere, yeah?
Yeah.
You have a genie, so you could just the genie could just zap it straight into your stomach rather than having to insert it into your anus.
And then it washes my organs the way someone would wash a car on a hot summer's day.
Yeah.
With a bucket full of lychee juice.
Yeah. Also, it's also dipping the lychee boxing gloves in lychee juice.
Yeah.
And then just
using them in like squeegees.
Working its way up here. And how long do you think it would take the gerbil
to wash all of your organs?
All of your organs.
A couple of days.
Yeah, so it's a long starter.
Yeah.
So I'm under.
Oh, you're under.
You're under. Yeah.
When you come to, you feel incredible.
Yeah.
You would, actually.
Yeah. That's my kind of starter.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah.
You're going to feel great.
Yeah, refreshed.
Your dream main course, Noel.
Dream main course. Okay, so there's a place in Big Sur. I went to Big Sur, and there was a place where all the beat writers used to eat.
Yeah.
I used to eat hamburgers there, Kerouac. Richard Brautigan used to go there, who's my favourite writer. And I just sort of, I was very excited about going to eat somewhere where all these beat writers and cool people had eaten. It's called the Nepenthe. Nepenthe. And it's basically, the view is just mountains. Beautiful place. And the hamburger is supposedly, everyone just would say, you got to go there for a hamburger. It's the greatest hamburger of all time. And I do quite like hamburgers. But so I went there and the waiter came over and I said, I've heard the hamburger's really good. And he literally went, well, little brother, we've been... This is true. We've been making them for 50 years, so it should be. He was like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Gee, Scoob, you gotta get the burger. He was amazing.
Yeah.
He was animated. I don't know how they did that.
So but at that point, when he suddenly did that, you must have been done by then.
I was in. I was like, who's this guy? And then he was doing, there were so many people there, and it was just him. He was the only waiter. And he was sort of bobbing about, and I just kept saying, I don't care about the food. I just want that guy to come back.
Every time he came back,
it was the most amazing experience of my life. And then I did have the burger, and it was the greatest burger.
Amazing.
Well, it was like, I don't really, you know, like nowadays, they always have very tall burgers, don't they? You know, you go into a burger place, gourmet burgers are very tall. They're almost like, they have to sometimes put that stick in to keep them so they don't topple over. And you can't, how do you eat those? I don't know what. Yeah. There's too much stuff in there.
Yeah, I'm not
so
a fan.
So I quite like the little flat burgers. Who's the fella in Popeye? Is it Wimpy?
Yeah.
He used to say, I'll gladly pay you Friday for a hamburger today. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And his hamburgers look nice.
Yeah. I really wanted a Wimpy hamburger. Is that, was Wimpy named after
it
him?
It must be.
Yeah, maybe.
That can't be a coincidence, can it?
He was called Wimpy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he looked like W.C. Fields. He looked drunk as well, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
I'll gladly pay you Friday.
Something was going on with him.
Yeah.
If they'd done
Well, my friend, he had a weird way of speaking, didn't he? Like W.C. Fields.
Like the waiter.
Well, my friend. Oh, the waiter was out of control. Well, little brother.
Little brother.
Gee, Scoob. It's such a good voice. I can't believe it.
UK comedians, we tend to like, we go abroad, especially like America, and like people don't know who we are over there. And then you get more character. I think you encounter more characters.
You do.
And I think here, if you went into a restaurant and they've got a weird waiter,
they're not sending
it's
that
like,
guy.
Do you want to go over to Noel Fielding? No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm too weird.
You think they're self-aware enough to go, I'm too weird. I'm too weird for Fielding. I love it.
In America, they don't care.
It will use it. It will talk about it on a podcast. Yeah. I'm not going over there. But it was that guy just like, who's this? I don't know who this bloke is. Well, brother. And it's like, and you get to have that treat again, like before you were famous. Yeah. You're like, oh, this is great. I get the weird guy.
There was a guy in a restaurant called the Gay Hussar. I think it's closed down now, that was in Soho. And lots of politicians used to go there. And I think they did some deal where if you were in a theatre show in Soho or in London, you could get a cheap meal before, if you were an actor. So it was a 60s thing. They were famous in the 60s and 70s. And it's called the Gay Hussar. And it was Polish food, I think. And the guy that ran it, the sort of maitre d', was one of the weirdest people of all time. We used to go there just for him. Yeah. And he would just say obscure things like a stand-up and then just leave and just hover over to your table and go, excuse me, what? It says you can get baked beans here. And he'd go, what's that about? And he'd go, well, if you're interested in the greatest baked beans of all time, then this is definitely a dish that I would recommend. And then he'd just leave. And then he'd say really weird stuff. Like, John Major was in here a few months ago. And I saw him enjoying the beans. And then he'd sort of be gone. Like, he'd be come over and he'd be gone. And then he started talking about, he found a card on the floor, kidney donor card. And he went, I could never give my organs away.
I'm going to list a bunch of people that you've worked with and you tell me who's met the man, who's met him.
Oh, okay.
Fulcher.
Yeah, Fulcher's definitely met him.
Berry.
He's a bit like Fulcher.
Both berries.
Weird.
I was going to say he sounds like a Fulcher character.
Yeah. Julian, definitely. Don't think Matt Berry ever... Oh, but I think Matt Berry might have experienced... He's quite a Soho character, Matt Berry.
Yeah.
I think he might have known about him. But I don't think he ever went with me.
Farnaby?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Farnaby and Julian were quite tight.
Yeah. So Farnaby would have met him at some
Interchangeable.
Point. Yeah.
Tall northern men with small eyes. They were very tight.
Alice Lowe. Alice Lowe ever met him?
I'm going to say yes. Weirdly, the Garth, Merengues, yeah, and the Boosh.
The whole crew.
It was like we were MC5 and they were the Stooges. And they got a record deal before we did, and we were furious. It's like, hey, these young guys are amazing. And then Channel 4 went, yeah, we'll have them, not you. And we were like, no, wait a second.
That's not what we meant.
We used to play the Hen and Chickens, and Matt Berry would come along and do a weird act. And then Garth would open for us. Yeah, it was a strange old night. You can imagine it either was amazing or the worst thing anyone's ever seen. Because if people weren't into it, then there was nothing else coming up.
Yeah.
It's like the man who owns Gay Hazard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
the
same.
And now, the guy from Big Sur, hey, little brother. Not this guy.
Oh, it's been shown here. The famous Ambrosia burger.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
The famous Ambrosia burger.
It is absolutely incredible.
Is it like a smashed patty?
Yeah.
See, that's in now. Square. That's back in.
Is it?
Yeah.
The smash patty.
For a while, it was like you say, the big, thick
burgers.
The tall burgers, putting an onion ring in, all that stuff.
Yeah,
Now, now it's back to smash.
Yeah. I love the little...
It's back to the smash patty.
The wimpy burger.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're quite cheap in America, those burgers, but they still taste quite good.
There's a lot more pride in their burgers there, in making a good burger. And there's, you know, there's places here that get that now.
Yeah.
There's some really good burgers now.
Aren't there?
The UK, but for a while it was just like Byron Burger or whatever. It seems like they're the best
the
burgers. I couldn't get on board.
No, I couldn't get on board. Weird.
Just go to Black Bear in Brixton.
Black Bear.
Their miso burger.
Yeah, that's insane. That
miso burger.
Yeah, yeah.
What? This is witchcraft. What's that? A miso burger.
That it might be the best burger I've ever had.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That sounds like one of my jokes. It's a black bear in South London who's handing out miso burgers. I could close with that.
At the end, it gives you your keys.
Yeah.
Perfect closer.
Ow. Oh, it's my key.
What is your dream side if it's not the baked beans then?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking now it should be the baked beans. I really like mashed potato.
Mm.
Baby Foods Field, in my ex-girlfriend used to call me. I used to like Farley's Rusks.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're still quite amazing.
Have
you ever had one recently?
Not recently, though.
Not recently.
Still good. And they've got a bit of NASA in them. They're in like a foil.
Yeah.
There's the cardboard packet and then there's a foil protective.
To make them keep for ages, right? I guess you can just, yeah.
And they're still quite malty. They've got like a nice sort of, I like that malty. I'm a sucker for malt.
Yeah.
I like a malt milkshake. I love a chocolate malt milkshake. I mean, in a way, I haven't included that, but it's one of my favourite things. But I like mashed potato. My dad makes really good mashed potato. It's the best mashed potato, really. And whenever we're at a restaurant, it was like a family thing where we'd always go, see if the mash is as good as dad's. And it never would be.
Yeah.
Occasionally it would, but we'd always say his was better. It's not as good as yours, Dad, thinking this is much better. I had really good Gordon Ramsay mashed potato once.
Yeah.
In Claridge's or somewhere. I remember thinking, oh, Ramsay's nailed the mash here. He wasn't in, obviously. It was his staff. But
well, you don't know.
He might have been in.
He might have been in. Sometimes he's in.
It's definitely his recipe, though.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, obscene mash. You know, mash that's so runny, you're just going, this is a drink. You need a hip flask for this.
Bad.
And is it puree? I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
What's this? I need a pint of mash.
Yeah, no,
it's too much.
Yeah, I'm not.
See, I don't mind the runny mash.
You
I quite like
the runny
potato
mash.
Puree.
It's more like a sauce.
Yeah, and also the French one where they put, I don't know, I can't remember what it's called now, where they put like so much cheese in it, it almost becomes like a potato fondue.
Cheesy
I love
mash.
That sticky potato cheese glue.
Chives,
I love it.
Onion mash.
Yeah.
I do like the mashes, but I think the puree one's a little bit too runny for me. It's like soup. And then, but maybe a hip flask of mash.
You're like a hip flask of mash.
Yeah.
I mean,
but if it's not the runny mash, how are you going to get the mash out? You're going to take a swig and nothing's going
to... It's going to have to be the runny mash, isn't it? Who would do a good runny mash? Heston.
Heston would do a runny mash.
Man, yeah, I went to a pop-up restaurant.
Yeah.
Heston's once. It was 18 courses. I was done after 3. I was so angry. I went through such a series of emotions. I think I cried at one point. It's like torture.
Yeah.
I went with loads of my friends who are real foodies. And they were loving it. And me and my other one friend were going, oh, no, please no more. And there was like 4 desserts. And at that point, you were so full and you hated yourself.
Yeah.
And you'd actually... At one point, they brought a mirror and you just looked at yourself and reassessed, reevaluated your life on this planet. This is you now on course 15. And you're like, I used to get naked and just look at yourself in the mirror. And then there were so many, the palate cleansers were like courses in themselves.
Yeah.
So there were like 4 palate cleansers and 17 courses. Yeah. The desserts were like ridiculous. They were like gold leaf sort of, you know, I don't even know what they were. There was some bell that was made out of gold leaf. It was insane.
Yeah.
But I remember just at the end, I was like, I was so angry with Heston because I just was like, this is horrible. And then I saw him about a week later at Jimmy Carr's party and I couldn't look him in the eye. I was like, I can't even look at this guy. It ruined me because I really don't like feeling full.
Yeah. I mean, that story was told to the wrong guys. That sounded like absolute hell.
Does that sound like you're there going?
Yeah, apart from being at Jimmy Carr's party, everything else sounds great. But you think he'd be able to nail the
runny mash,
the hip flask of mash?
Yeah, I think good mash though. So I think we should whack that in a hip flask.
Yeah, nice. You'd
probably say to Heston, I want it to taste exactly like my dad's mash.
Yeah,
but be runny.
Runny enough
but
to drink.
Let's purify my dad's.
Could probably figure out a way of doing that with science.
Yeah,
he probably could, couldn't he? And then get a little hip flask made of meringue or fondant.
That's you'd like to eat that at the end as well.
Yeah, you got to eat the hip flask.
The meringue.
When you open it, that sort of dry ice
maybe
comes out.
Yeah, you need a bit of that.
It was made of rusks, the hip flask.
Oh, rusks.
A rusk.
A rusky hip flask.
Farley's rusk hip flask filled with Ronnie Heston mash.
Ronnie Heston / my dad's mash.
Yes.
Your dream drink, Noel. Even though you just had a hip flask full of runny mash.
Yeah. I mean, that is my dream drink, isn't it? You know what? When I was a little kid, you could get these 10p ice poles and they were cheap as chips. I don't know. And any news agent, you would open that coffin, you know that?
Yeah.
And you could get these quite fat ice poles. I don't know if they were ice pops or ice poles.
Poles, I
think.
Well, I was,
They were long
ones. That's what we called them, ice poles.
Really long
ones.
They
were really bright colours.
Yeah. Like blue, the bright blue one.
The bright blue one. That looked like, that was quite space foodie.
Yeah.
It
was like NASA's pop-up restaurant. And so basically, but there were these fat ones that were 10p.
Yeah.
So we used to go and play, and some holidays when we were young, we used to go on our BMXs to, this is our old home, and then we'd go and play tennis. We'd get the tennis court early.
Yeah.
So we'd go to this park where there was a tennis court, and you had to get in there quick, otherwise you wouldn't get the court. So it'd be like 5 of us playing all day. We'd have like a pound for lunch. So like you'd have some crisps and a Mars bar and the rest of it you'd just spend on maybe a Tango or a Fanta probably in those days.
Yeah.
And then you'd have like 20p left and you'd get 2 ice poles.
Yeah.
And they were, I don't know what they were. They were probably just all food colouring.
Chemicals and stuff.
Chemicals.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Water with chemicals in it.
Was toilet like, duck.
It was a lemonade one.
Oh,
it was so good. The juice from that.
Yeah.
And I always used to think, why can't you just get this as a drink? I mean, you can, but it's just that little bit at the end, the bag, the see-through sleeping bag with the juice at the end. So you save that for the end and you drink it.
Yeah. I guess
a pint of that.
Would it work to let them melt and then just swig the whole thing?
I don't know about that.
The problem is...
Okay. The genie knows.
It's almost as if someone's tried this.
Is that when you want to do that...
Yeah.
You're not old enough to have the discipline
to let it melt. Yeah, yeah.
So we all think, maybe as a kid, we think they should just sell this as a drink. This bit at the end is my favourite bit.
Yeah.
And then, I remember buying an ice pole and being like, this one, I'm going to let it melt all the way.
Yeah.
This is when I do it.
And
then
the
it all melt.
Yeah.
And then I'd cave and start
eating it,
having it when it was solid.
Well, also, there's no information on those packets.
No.
Nothing. There's no ingredients, there's no name, they're just anonymous fat ice poles, 10p. I don't know if the guy in the shop had made them or his wife had made them. They're just colourful liquids frozen in a see-through sheaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that element of mystery was quite attractive to you as well in terms of like...
And also quite hard to get into.
Yeah.
You could take out a filling.
To rip that over. Yeah,
to rip that thing open, And there was a technique to it, wasn't there? Sort of like you sort of push it up and then you'd let the juice go into the bottom bit.
Yeah.
They do look a bit like, especially in those freezers, look a bit like sort of frozen lab samples.
Yeah. Just they could have been.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what was going on.
People started buying them. Like, okay, fair enough.
He was just...
I didn't say they were
He was just having a Barocca for colour. pissing into...
try different things.
Industrial plastic bags.
See how this turns out.
I tell you, some kids who've got a tennis court all day are going to come in here on their BMXs. They're going to love these. So that, I think, again, it might be that you were a little child and that you it tasted bad. It was summer. You were also, you know, to go out with a pound on your BMX, you were really thirsty because you've been playing tennis for 4 hours. Yeah. So maybe there was an element of you were really dehydrated.
Yeah.
And that was keeping you alive.
Are we melting them down or do you just want the ends of loads of frozen ones?
Ends.
Yeah.
I think if you melt them down, maybe something happens.
Yeah. It's not the same.
I think you have to let it happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, it takes a long, probably take a long time.
Yeah.
Because there's not much juice at the bottom of the bag.
Yeah. Maybe there's
never enough. And that's probably what you love about it.
Is it
never
just
quite
a little
enough?
Bit. Yeah.
No, you'd love a big swig of that from a pint glass.
Yeah, but you never get it. And that's what makes you think you need it. But if you had a pint of it, maybe you'd go, this is horrible.
Were you a fan of a Calippo as well?
love
a Calippo. So good.
I would always get a lolly over an ice cream.
Right. Yeah.
I do like ice cream. I like gelatos. I like the ice cream man ice cream. You used to work in an ice cream van, didn't you?
No, I used to work on it. Yeah, I used to sell ice creams at a theme park.
Right.
In a little hatch.
So you, like Caligula, me with the water, you probably had way too many.
No,
right?
I couldn't. I had them all the time, but I still love them.
Never got bored.
Still my favourite food.
Really?
Yeah. Ice cream? Still my favourite food.
That's amazing.
But, and I did have the keys to the mansion. It was weirdly, I always go to say I worked in this theme park for one summer, but I didn't. I worked it there for one autumn.
You still
which
work
is
there,
ridiculous.
Don't you?
It's just such
you never
a
left.
Not.
One autumn.
Yeah, one autumn I worked at.
Ice cream season.
A theme park. No one came. So I was basically kicking about all day, helping myself to ice cream.
Yeah. So you were just the kid.
I was just going
in a sweet shop.
But the thing was, is like I was in the place where I worked was like, there was three. It was the little building and there's three hatches in there. One was ice creams and then round the corner was drinks and then round the corner again was the hot food or the fried food. But the ice cream hatch looked directly onto the offices where the bosses were.
Right.
So they could see into you. So
yeah,
I would have to sneakily get some ice cream, then go around to the drinks hatch, eat it there.
Yeah.
And then go back round to ice cream like I hadn't just been eating the ice cream.
Keep all around your mouth.
Yeah.
I've just been doing some business right there.
Been doing some stock take. Get back. But the time that it's autumn.
Cleaning the drinks hatch. Wow, that autumn.
It was the only year, I don't remember ever seeing it anywhere before or since. And I think it was Cornetto who bought it out, but it might have been someone else, where it was like a soft serve. So it's like these cylinders of ice cream, and you put it in this machine and then pull it down like a one-armed bandit.
Mm-hmm.
And it had come out soft serve, and it was like like a strawberry Cornetto flavour.
Magic.
A chocolate one. Never seen them
alchemy.
Again anywhere.
Alchemy, yeah. Basically.
So I was able to make my own like Mr. Whippy Cornettos just for myself all the time.
And how old were you?
I was 15.
Ah,
wow, that's it,
sweet
isn't
spot.
It? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all you care about when you're 15.
Yeah,
not interested great. In girls, cars, and you're just interested in sugar, sweets, ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, you were Mr. Whippy. You were your own Mr. Whippy.
Master Whippy.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Master Whippy.
Yeah. I think
the chewing gum and the sort of little balls of bubble gum.
Oh,
used to get in the Mr. Whippy. They were unusual, weren't they?
Yeah, the
they
first
lose their
time,
flavor pretty quick.
First time I ordered, I think they were called. Scroobles, weren't they?
Scroobles.
First time I ordered that, I didn't know there was chewing gum at the end.
No.
And that surprised me.
Yeah,
you were choking.
It's a real
rush to hospital.
Kids, what the fuck? What is this? Like, I've been going for it anyway, not checking with anyone if that's supposed to be there.
They were quite, both my ice cream men were quite, there were two characters. One was called George and he was Italian. He looked like guy out of Starsky and Hutch. He had sort of a perm.
Yeah.
We used to take the piss out of him. Kids just rip ice cream men, don't they? And then the other guy was called Rinaldi. Yeah. And I had quite sort of blonde hair, sort of modish hair. And he used to call me Marianne Faithful, which I had no clue who that was.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rinaldi.
Okay, Mum, the ice cream man calls me Marianne Faithful. And she'd laugh. And I'd think, what's a bit weird? What's this joke?
And the cheese plant would explain it to you.
He was really rude. He was kind of evil. He'd often just
Don't be upset, that's enough.
And he'd just drive off. He was quite nuts. But I liked it. As I got older, I sort of appreciated that he was actually just really funny.
Yeah.
But as kids, we were mortally offended by his sort of rudeness.
Is Marianne Faithful still going?
Is she still going?
Benita's nodding. Because I'm going to pitch this. So we've got a way in here. She should go on The Traitors, Marianne Faithful.
100% Faithful.
Should you just tell everyone she's 100% Faithful? And
or 100% Marianne. go around going, I'm 100% Marianne.
You know, the first time I saw Traitor's trailer, the advert, I thought it was me. I was like, I remember filming that. And then my wife asked Claudia Winkleman, and I was like, oh, yeah, it was a quick clip.
Your dream dessert, Noel. We arrive at your dream dessert. And,
well,
what a ride is
it? Oh, this is tricky. I found this the hardest. I got a sweet tooth. I'm not a savoury dude. So I do remember the first time I had Angel Delight and I...
Baby food.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. But also, for some reason, there was a day where I bunked off school and started making my own Angel Delight at home. So I associate it with being sort of naughty.
Yeah.
And I put the telly on. There was some weird programme about Bigfoot on. I freaked myself out. And it was like, you look really scary. It was that sort of weird footage of Bigfoot. I think it's called the Patterson footage, where it sort of looks around. You know the one where it's walking and it sort of looks around to the camera. And I remember thinking, this is terrifying. I was probably about 7 or something. Well, this is terrifying. And
you bunked off school when you were 7?
Maybe I was 12.
Yeah.
Oh, if you were 12, I bet I know who loved it that you bunked off school.
Home so early.
I won't tell, Noel. Your secret's safe with me.
How about you go and put on those gym jams?
Oh, eating the Angel Delight.
That Bigfoot looks like a scary fella. Why don't you come over here?
Let me reassure you a little.
I'll tell you what really delights the angels.
All right, so I was bunking off scores, eating an angel, helping myself to butterscotch. I think I had a butterscotch and a strawberry Angel Delight. I was out of my mind on E-numbers. Yeah. And Bigfoot came on. It really scared me. And then I couldn't look at that footage for a long time. And then when I looked at it when I was older, I just was like, this is a guy in a suit. You can see the zip.
Yeah.
It's sort of just like a South London dude from Sutton just walking down the road. Oh, mate. Didn't look anything like Bigfoot. But as a kid, I was like, oh, my, wow. So I sort of think of Angel Delight and I think of bunking off the cheese plant times. But I'm not sure about Angel Delight. There were two things at school. I love those school dinners. I'm a 70s child, so there was 80s child. So there was a school dinners. There were these tarts that they used to make, and one was called a gypsy tart, I think, which I'm not, probably won't be called that anymore.
Josie Long also brought this up, and it was the same qualifier.
The gypsy tart.
Yeah.
She likes the gypsy.
She loved it. She also wasn't sure if it should be called that anymore.
Well, but I don't know what it was. It had like a topping, a sort of beige topping that was chewy, but a bit crunchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. And then they made gypsy tarts on Bake Off. Prue knew about them.
Yeah.
Prue knows everything. And it wasn't as good. So I was wondering if it, again, my childlike taste buds tricked me in some way. But the problem with the school desserts were, in a week you would get gypsy tart once, but you'd also get rice pudding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that used to make me feel sick.
Yeah.
And I went, there was a weird dinner lady who used to make, you'd have to eat your dessert.
Yeah.
And I couldn't eat rice pudding. And so she said, you're not leaving. One day she took a stand. So you're not leaving until you've eaten it. And I just said, I'm not going to eat it. So we sat there opposite each other for like an hour and a half. The problem with that was it got cold. So it's even worse. Yeah. And she said, you're not leaving. And it was just awful. I was young as well. Yeah. That was my primary school.
Yeah.
And so she's sort of, this is a true story. She tried to force rice pudding into me and I puked on her hand.
You won that one.
Next day, gypsy tart. Everything was fine.
Yeah,
she forced, and it's the texture of rice pudding, the lumps, or whatever it is in that. And I just went,
stories like that, you kind of go like, from your perspective, you telling that story, it's a perfectly reasonable story for you to go around telling, everyone understands your stance in it. I just can't imagine her going around telling people that story and coming and thinking that she's... How could she even tell that makes her sound good in any way?
She sounds mad.
I had a standoff with him.
Yeah.
It was dessert as well, which isn't even good for him.
And it's not something you force kids to eat, dessert.
Yeah.
Right.
I sat there for an hour and a half with him, and then I tried to force it down him, and then he was sick on my hand. What of her friends are sympathising with her at any point? Is on her side.
He should be expelled.
Yeah.
He's a bad seed.
So what is, out of all them,
Gypsy tart, I love, maybe with... Angel Delight as a sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Is that okay?
Well, that yeah. Butterscotch Angel Delight?
Yeah.
Not an idiot. That'd go best with that.
Well, I'll read your menu back to you now and see how you feel about it. Your water, you would like liquefied party rings from the 80s.
Noel already looks disappointed at himself, by the way, when you said that.
You want your own homemade garlic bread.
Yeah.
Nice. And you want to travel into the future 2 to 4 minutes. Starter, a bowl of peeled lychees. Main course, the famous Ambrosia burger.
I feel like we've missed a major detail with the lychees. But
oh, yeah, you would like the gerbil to wash your insides with it. Yeah. And then you come out. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
That's part of the order.
Thanks for picking me up on that. Yeah. Main course, the famous Ambrosia burger. Side dish, Dad's runny mash in a Rusk hip flask.
Made by Heston Bloomington.
Made by Heston. Drink, a pint of the ends of 10p ice poles, lemonade ice poles from when you were a kid. Dessert, the school gypsy tart with butterscotch Angel Delight as a sauce.
Yeah.
Feel good?
Feels amazing.
Very 70s. I'd say the 70s pops up in almost every course.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
You seem to be really seriously reflecting on that. And what it says about you.
And I'd like to have that meal with the dinner lady who forced me.
Yeah.
Do you want to be sick on her hand at the end?
You're going to force her to eat it?
Well, I'd like her to be sick on my hands so that we could just even things out.
And then James goes back into his cat flap.
Yeah.
And I go, was that a dream? And then I feel my pocket. My keys are there.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Noel.
Thank you, Noel.
Well, that was a treat.
Well, there we are. A great episode with Noel, I thought.
Exactly the kind of menu you'd hope for. Shit. Liquidized party rings.
The menu was shit.
What?
The menu was horrible.
Most of it was liquid and just like sweet.
The menu was horrible, but I didn't mind because it was such a fun chat.
Yes, lovely chat. A lot of laughter to be had.
Also, Noel told us after that we're like the third podcast he's ever done.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he's doing well, actually.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Imagine if he never does another one.
That's it. Just the golden.
Would you take that as a compliment or an insult?
Insult.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. But listen, I tell you what you should all watch is on Apple TV Plus, The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin, which Noel is in and is fantastic, and we're very much looking forward to seeing the whole thing.
And it's coming out on the 1st of March, so very, very soon indeed. Make sure you watch that. Noel, of course, did not say spicy carrot and coriander soup. Carrot and coriander? Did I say carrot?
You can't say it. You can't say spicy carrot and coriander.
I said carrot and coriander.
If you were in the bush, that wouldn't last long, mate.
First writing session, I'd go, guys, can we just be sensible here?
This is too weird.
None of this makes sense.
No, you used to be in doing wacky stuff with Nish and Tom Neenan and
It wasn't that wacky though, man.
You would write wacky stuff and Nish kind of leaves the gig and then comes back in dressed as a Scottish person called Haggis McNish.
That's true.
That's bush territory.
Yeah, we did do Haggis McNish. I forget about Haggis McNish.
Yeah, he'd come back in and just sit in the audience and pretend to be an audience member and you'd talk to him.
And then he'd take his wig off and I'd be really surprised.
Yeah.
That was in a stand-up show. That was a mixed bill stand-up show that Haggis McNish would pop up in.
Cool Fun.
Cool Fun.
Is what the show was called.
Yes.
So I think you'd fit him.
Yeah.
In a bush writer's room.
Yeah, but my first idea, I go, right, I've got this idea. He's called Haggis McNish. And then they say something else and I go, guys, come on. Corot and coriander.
Hey, Ed, aren't you on tour soon?
I am. I'm on tour starting in March, actually. So starting on March the 12th, I'm on tour all over the UK and Ireland. The show's called Hot Diggity Dog. edgamble.co.uk for tickets. And maybe if you come to one of the London shows, there might be an appearance from a little guy called Haggis McNish.
Also, I would encourage people to listen to Springleaf, my audio sitcom. All 10 episodes are out wherever you get your podcasts. I'm very proud of it. And I'm very happy that all of it is out now.
And who's in it?
So many people, including yourself.
And?
Haggis McNish.
Thank you. Thank you very much for listening to Off Menu. We will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.